Hello, hello, everyone. I'm Faven. I'm the host of the Sunday Service Podcast. I know we've been gone for a while, but we really wanted to bring a special guest for you guys today. And today's episode is very special because I know I say this all the time, but today really makes us think consciously about our upbringing and how it influences our current life and lifestyle and choices. So we have today with us Mishan, who is a generational pattern therapist. And today to talk to us about what does this consist of, right? And how it impacts us throughout our life. So Mishan, please introduce yourself further and tell our audience a little bit about you.
I am a mother of four. I'm married for almost 20 years. I am a motivational speaker, a life coach, and an author. And I feel like my purpose is helping people really step into theirs and helping them overcome any limiting beliefs or anything that's holding them back from living their greatest life.
I love that how you stated that your purpose is to help people live their best life, but
totally
through addressing generational pattern, right? And I even found myself, right? I've been thinking a lot and sometimes I find myself being unbalanced, right? And a little bit being in a battle with myself. At times I have to ask myself, what is going on with me spiritually? What is going on with me mentally? And when I sat down and evaluated, I had to ask myself, okay, how was my upbringing? What behaviors am I implementing now in my life that I was not aware of that maybe my parents did or my father did or my aunts did? And I was very passionate about this interviewing you because I know this is something that impacts all of us and we're not really conscious about it. But when we become conscious, we're more intentional about how we want to implement certain behaviors within our own growing families, right? How we want to be intentional throughout life. So I'm very excited that you're here, and I'm sure that our guests are excited that you are here as well. So I'm going to begin with our first question. I know you shared a little bit about yourself. So can you share a little bit about your upbringing and how it shaped your journey into becoming a generational pattern life coach?
Well, growing up, there was a bit of dysfunction. My dad drank quite a bit. There was a lot of cigarette smoking, yelling, cussing, a lot of fighting. And then when I sat back, I looked at my dad's dad and they did the same thing. And then I found out that his dad did the same thing. And I said, okay, there's something here. And I didn't know how to be more normal, but I knew what they were doing wasn't right. So it just kind of led me to think, there's a better way because I see people living a better life. So let me figure that out. I may not be, you know, kind of, I feel like I'm a part of my family, but I just felt so much different, like a black sheep, if that makes sense.
I can understand that perspective. So how did that impact you during your childhood of being raised within that type of environment? And did you experience any type of emotions, any type of, you know, personality challenges, like, you know, having imposter syndrome and so on, and just feeling like you couldn't connect with your family members?
Totally. I felt like, you know, I was the youngest child, but I was really the most outspoken. I almost felt like a fish out of water around my family because I wanted to invite friends over, but I couldn't. Because of, you know, the fighting, I know that when things weren't right, I would be the one to speak up and be like, something's not right. And I'd get in trouble or, you know, face consequences. But I still had that fight. And I said, this isn't really the life that I want. I don't want to, because at first I didn't want to be married because I thought if you cuss and fight and scream and, you know, who wants that? And then your kids are in a room crying. And I'm like, this isn't the way I thought that life should be.
No, I completely understand that. Just definitely changing your perspective about what family looks like, what a healthy family looks like, right? Mm-hmm. What a healthy family looks like, right? Because we see it on TV.
Yeah.
And sometimes we see it even through our friends, family members. And you're like, does this really exist? Like, or am I just not really blessed enough? Or am I cursed, right?
Yes.
So you think these things. And similarly for me, I didn't really grow up in a household that was best for me mentally or emotionally. And that definitely impacted me throughout life to the point where I didn't really even understand my behaviors until I got into a relationship. I didn't really even understand my level of self-esteem, my level of self-love for myself until I had to sit there and be like, okay, your parents raised you this way. Obviously, this happened, but that does not define you. How are you going to change this? How are you going to address the things you don't like that you are, you know, implementing into your life that you see your parents, that your parents have did as well? And how do you create a better lifestyle or mentality for yourself and family? And for me, I challenge myself every day because I'm learning as I go. Mm-hmm. And dysfunction, just any, even if it relates to friendship or family, I just instantly, my body's like, this is a warning sign. I need to step away. And I love how you spoke about.
You know, let me add something about the imposter syndrome, because I thought that was very interesting. This is something, because what was hard for me is growing up in a household like that, you are quiet. You learn to pretend really well, and you make it look like everything is perfect on the outside. But on the inside, things may be just like it's Hades, like hell is breaking loose. But outside, you're like, hi, how are you? And, you know, I didn't know how to be vulnerable. I didn't feel comfortable being vulnerable or that my emotions matter. And to this day, sometimes I have to force myself to be open. And that was something that was out of my comfort zone. But a quick story, my husband, when we were dating, I was like, are you sure? That's how I felt. Like, he thought I was attractive, you know, all the things. But I was like, I don't know if I am good enough. Mm-hmm. Because I hadn't been, that hadn't been instilled in me in childhood, because my mom, she had the same issue. My dad wasn't very confident. They pretended that they were, but then they raised kids that kind of, you know, fit where they came from and generationally. So when I looked up, I had prayed for my husband, but I was nervous to know, it was I even good enough for him?
Yeah.
And it was, it was so, that's such a confusing thing to be in.
It is, especially as a woman. And I feel like we're relating so much, and you're touching on so many bases that I experienced just throughout life, especially in relationships. I used to find myself being like shy, not even being able to be open enough to be like, this person won't understand me. Like, this person won't accept who I am. And thinking, you know, having the perspective or the behavior of just being shy and quiet, but really I was just in my head. Mm-hmm. And I was just thinking about, how do I escape this type of family structure? Mm-hmm. How do I survive? Mm-hmm. Because you're not even really fighting against your own thoughts or in your own way of living, you're fighting against your childhood patterns that have been instilled into you.
That's right.
And you have to unlayer one piece at a time, because it's so much, right? It's childhood through adulthood. That really hit home when you said that, because I really thought I was the only individual who used to have those thoughts, and that, you know, in time I overcame it, because now I can laugh about it, not in a sense of like making fun of myself about it, but like, hey, I overcame that. Like,
that's right.
I am good enough for anybody, and anybody would be lucky to have me. That's so it's just overcoming that. I love this topic that you just discussed right now.
Yeah.
So how did the losses and challenges you faced within your family impact your mission and work today?
It started everything. When I was going for a walk, I say not too long ago, maybe 6 months ago, I was going for a walk and I was so angry. You know how you felt like there was a separation? Sometimes, you know, you love God, you know, you're supposed to trust me, but you're angry. And you kind of feel like stepping away. It's like, I need a break, but you know, that's what you need. It's like a lifeline. And it's like this, you know? And so what happened, I was going for a walk and I cried and I just said, God, why was I born into this family? Why did I go through what I went through? Both of my parents are gone. My brother's gone. And the other one is dealing with the legal system. Everybody's gone. And God dropped something in my spirit that was so powerful. He said, the reason that you are where you are is because you listen. You listen to what I say and you do it. I warned every one of them and they didn't listen. And when he said that, I felt almost like a peace. Not that I was, you know, like, oh, yay, you know, because it was still a little painful, but it gave me perspective that everybody has a choice. And what makes one person different than another person in a family system, it boils down to choices. That's really what it is. Beliefs and choices. And just kind of locking in and letting the Holy Spirit, some people may call it the intuition, letting that be your guide, because that's the truth. You know, that's the experience that I had. And that's really what led me to to turn a challenge into something that could be a blessing for other people to help them make better choices.
Yes, yes, yes. Through your own experience and getting that message from God. Yeah.
It was so...
And wanting it changed. And wanting it changed deeply inside.
Yes, yes.
That's very powerful. And that's your experience that you can take with you, mm-hmm. at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
So for those that struggle with generational pattern, I don't want to say trauma because that's just a negative perspective and that doesn't help somebody overcome that.
Right.
So for somebody dealing with that currently, they don't know how to take the steps to find themselves, to set the boundaries and find a way to be away from that. What can they do?
The first thing that I help clients with, and even what I did for myself, is I had to get that separation. You can't heal if you're being exposed, to the same things that cause the harm.
Mm-hmm.
You have to separate yourself and just allow yourself time to heal.
Yes.
And I think a lot of times we think that we need to, almost like, you know, dealing with the generational issues, be a people pleaser, or I want to disappoint them. I don't want to hurt them.
Yeah.
So, but the thing is, you have to create boundaries, and it starts with self-care, self-love, to say, let me step away so I can heal. And that's the first step, just identifying that there's an issue, and then what do I need to do to heal? And that a lot of times you got to step away. You can't be a part of the same system that caused the hurt and the harm and the issue.
That's true. It's just stepping away, as you said, choosing yourself, setting mm-hmm. boundaries. And that really is the first stage in mm-hmm. breaking away from the cycle and saying, I choose me.
Yes.
I choose my future family. I choose my sanity. I mm-hmm. choose my peace. And you just made me remember the time where at one point in my life, I was in therapy.
Mm-hmm.
And that was because I was at the lowest point in my life after having a miscarriage, dealing with fibroids and
mm-hmm.
just feeling like I wanted a change, but I just didn't know how to go about it. And then seeing the dysfunction of my family and feeling like mm-hmm. my spirit just doesn't feel settled. My spirit, mm-hmm. spirit feels like I want to get away. And one thing I can remember my therapist telling me was, why am I so scared to set boundaries? Why am I so scared to choose myself? And I had to ask myself, and I think it was because I'm a very compassionate person. And I just felt like if I disattached that I'll be leaving my family, and that mm-hmm. I had that guilt remorse where I felt like I'm leaving them there to suffer while I came out of it. And so that made me remember when you said that. But at the same time, it's a powerful experience because, as you said, you're thinking about yourself and your sanity. If you're not here, how are you going to be able to help your family members or your friends or influence them? And then how are you going to be able to plan for your future family?
You know, let me touch on something that you said about when you step away and kind of what I said too. When you step away, you're letting them down. You're hurting them. How can you be that comfort for them? But you know what? They're growing too. And if they want to have a better life and they want to go towards a, you know, healing, they should be doing the same work that you're doing. And so, or they could choose a different way. It's not our job to fix somebody. They have to choose that, and they have to step into that healing for themselves. And so one thing that helped me release that burden of being a fixer is everybody's responsible for themselves.
Mm.
If you want joy, you're responsible for joy. If you want whatever, that's your responsibility because you are grown.
Yes. As you said, we come together when it's like this. Once we are whole, we come together in the puzzles. Puzzles mm-hmm. come together. That even applies to relationship. That's mm-hmm. very important relationship factors, because if one is healed, but one is still finding themselves, which is okay. Sometimes you only need guidance. But if we haven't let go of the things that are impacting us and are still continuing that negative behaviors or traumas that we experience as children, it just lingers on to your family, right?
Mm-hmm.
It means
mm-hmm.
that we're not conscious about that.
That's right.
So what are some common self-limiting beliefs you encounter in your clients, and how do you help them overcome these?
I wrote some down here. A lot of them feel like they are, like we said, not worthy, not good enough. It's like growing up, we missed that, you know, where they would, you know, you should be so proud of yourself, and that reassurance and that, you know, building that self-confidence because, you know, we grew up in environments that didn't foster that. So you grow up as an adult and you're looking for that and you don't know how to give that to yourself. So that's one of the things, being a people pleaser, always kind of putting yourself second, feeling like I need to be a martyr. I need to be selfless. And then you run around looking tore up and exhausted and everybody else is, go do this for me, you know? And it's just like, that's no way to live either. Also the fear of failure. Some people feel like if I step away from this relationship, if I get out of this family system and really go out there on my own, you know, will I have that support, you know? Because sometimes you want, even though your mom or your dad or your grandma or siblings maybe, you know, have their issues, at least that's still family. So I'm scared that if I step away from that, how will those relationships change? And so really just focusing too on, people want something new. Like, you want to create a family, you want to create something that's like reauthoring your generations to come. And people want something new. They just don't know how to start. What do I do? I didn't see it. I didn't live it. All I saw, it was, I watched it on TV or my friends, but otherwise I don't even know how to start being that person and create that family because I didn't experience that. So how do I start that?
And I love that you emphasize on like, how do I think that's the part that's very difficult, right? It's not wanting, it's not the fear of wanting change. That's one part of the journey, but it's never seeing it, right? Never seeing a healthy relationship, never seeing a healthy family function or pattern or behaviors. It's just gathering and then being always around some form of dysfunction, right? And even the brain at some point starts to accept these type of outings or these type of engagements where it becomes a norm, right? So, and I agree with you when it comes to like cussing and drinking. Like now when I, even when I see somebody cursing, I'm like, I just cringe and I'm like, why? Why are you cursing? Like, like why, we have other words we can use. Like so many things, not judging. I'm not a person that's so stuck up, but at the same time, like, were you hurt? Did you hit your knees against something? Like what happened? Like, did you run against the wall? Like those are things because it's natural. Like, how something happened. But like cursing because of your frustration, not being able to manage your emotions. And and I love that you said that, you know, at the end of the day is not knowing how to do it. And I think like in our community, especially in the African-American community, where we're impacted by a lot of generational patterns and not breaking the cycle. You know, we don't really have mentors like you or coach as much out here. There's some, but like really pushing that agenda and saying, no, you can break out of the pattern. No, you can, you know, you can literally take layers of yourself that are not beneficial to you and rebuild yourself and deliver though that new person to yourself and your growing family.
That's right.
Even if you don't, it's not even a family, but your relationship with everybody else and yourself.
That is so true. You know, when I had to, like getting married, I had to look at this like, okay, I know where I came from. How can I do something different? And I almost turned my vision into being a creator. So I did the whole vision boards. I did journaling. I did visualization before that was even really a thing, because I was like, I know what I want. And I know the type of young individuals I want to raise. So what do I need to do? And as I created that in my mind, I started fixing myself, because that's really where it starts. If I'm healed, then we'll stop, you know, hurting people and the next generation won't have to work and write a book. I'm just playing. Not that they write a book about their parents, but it won't keep going where each generation has to heal. The change starts with you. It starts with me. And that's why you rebuild generations based off what you do today.
Yeah. No, I completely agree. It's about being intentional, fixing yourself first and not fixing it if there's something wrong with you, but being mindful, okay, what attributes do I have that I like? What behaviors do I notice that I'm not managing? What behaviors do I have that's beneficial to me and the people around me? And those are things I'm even starting to evaluate, you know, in my life. You know, I'll say that a period in my life, initially, I was very patient, right? Quiet, really felt like, okay, being quiet and listening means that I'm not causing a problem, right? I'm not causing a fight. So But that's not good when you're communicating with people because they can feel like you're ignoring them. Mm-hmm. But really, you're like, I just want to keep the peace. Like,
right.
I just want to keep the peace. But as you said, it's finding the boundaries of, okay, this is healthy communication. Making sure you are actively listening to somebody, but at the same time, making sure that you heard too. Mm-hmm. But it's, at the end of the day, it's all about healthy communication, right? And at times, we all get upset sometimes. We all are not always, in management of our emotions, but it's like catching it and being like, okay, I can't act like that again.
That's right.
I can't be reactive like that. Because at the end of the day, as you said, if you know yourself, you know what things lead you to enact in the destructive behaviors, or you know things that help you be able to interact in a healthy manner. Mm-hmm. Just knowing what type of environment to be in, what type of people to surround yourself with, and pouring back into yourself, whether it's through therapy, meditation, giving. You know, it's not just like going to get our nails done. It's not just having self-care. It's about, no, what are you doing for yourself? Like, what have you done for yourself today? What have you done for yourself this whole year, right? Yes. Especially as mothers, we're constantly giving and giving and giving. Especially as entrepreneurs, we're constantly thinking about what's next, right? Even when we're sleeping, we're not really sleeping. Our mind's still constantly going.
Yes, it is.
Right? And then we live in a life where, like, things can change in a second, right? Mm-hmm. If you're not taking care of yourself, you can develop health issues. Right. You can have mental health issues if you're not taking care of yourself. So it's, what are you doing to give back to yourself? What are you doing to give back to your mental health, your spirit, and just your being as a whole? How can individuals identify and break from destructive family patterns?
Sure. You know, you can look at, what is the source of all the drama in your family? Yeah. Where'd it come from? And then you can create a solution based off of that. Because I know that the source of mine, my dad drank a lot. Okay, that created the issue, and that created lack of communication, confidence, self-esteem, all these other. I think if you know, you have to attack the issue head on. What caused all the issues? You know, was it the way your mother or your father communicated with you? Was it the fighting? What was it that was the source of the issue? Because everything else outside of that, it's an effect. So if you can deal with the actual cause, you get to the source and then create solutions. You don't know what to do if you don't know what the issue is. I know from my family system, you know, from generations, it was alcoholism, which created all of the issues. But the source was that. So I'm like, okay, well, so that shows me I don't need to look for other things outside of me to cope. I don't need to look for pacifiers, something to externally make me feel better, get some type of coping mechanism, let me heal from the inside out versus the outside in. So I think a really important thing is just, what's the issue? What, you know, I really know that just dealing with the source of the issues, it's uncomfortable. And sometimes, you know, you think it's that or it's that, but really it could be this, which caused all of these other issues.
Yeah. As you said, the little things can be bigger issues in the future, right? And it's really, as you said, analyzing, okay, what is the root cause of this problem and how can I address it? And as you stated, it's hard sometimes. You might not even notice that there is a problem, and you might, a person might not notice that they're engaging in the behavior until somebody's like, hey, do you know you do this?
Right.
Like, do you know that you're this way, but then you act that way sometimes? And it's like, it's the hardest part sometimes is taking accountability, because sometimes you might not even be aware, or you just don't want to accept it, because then it means you have to change, right? And you have to change those things. And it's just a part of life. It's just a cycle that goes. So I'm happy that you spoke about that in the manner that, you know, identifying the root issue and then changing it.
Let me add something to this, which is kind of not exactly addressing the question. It's just an add-on.
Okay.
One thing that I realized, and I've helped other people see too, is while you're going through this healing journey of discovery and what was the source, also really focus on forgiveness of them. Because I realized my mom, when she, you know, lacked doing something about the situations or her responses, my dad's responses, they really didn't know any better. All they could do was respond based off the knowledge and the wisdom they had at the time, you know, and we can't make people change. We can't. So just really stop trying to control someone else and just really focus on forgiveness, which, as we know, it doesn't mean I'm going to be your best friend and everything you did was perfect. It's just lollipops and rainbows. Like, you know, I'm not going to stop this from letting me create what I want in my family. I'm not going to let this block me, because if you do, you're just going to relive the same thing that you're from.
Yes.
Whether it may not be alcohol, it could be something else. So if you fully let that go, because it's no longer serving you, it's no longer feeding where you're going, it's like a weight. It's like a 100-pound weight strapped to your back, and you're trying to sprint. You're trying to create, but you can't create out of anger. You can't create out of fear or lack. You create from a whole different mindset, a different perspective. So I just challenge people, what can you do to let it go? And one thing I did is I wrote my mom, even after she passed away, I wrote her a letter and I forgave her and I spoke to her and I said, I love you anyway. And thank you for what you did give me. And for what you lack, I'm sorry that you were raised the way you were, but thank you for trying to do the best you could do. And I just let it go. And the same with my dad. I just let it go. Just the healing, that was part of the healing process.
Just releasing, right? It's a sense of like releasing. Sending it away.
Yes.
Closing the chapter. And that's powerful, as you said, because in your mind, that creates the, you know, like we are people that like to visualize things, right? Mm-hmm. So by doing that, you allowed your mind to say, okay, it's done. I've dealt with it. Yes. We're at peace. So I do love that approach that you suggested. So the next question is, what role does self-care play in overcoming dysfunctional family dynamics?
Self-care is everything. When you really, I think self-care is saying I'm worthy. I'm important. I matter. My body matters. My health matters. Me as a person, I'm worthy. And so taking that time out to go do something special for yourself, go love on yourself. If it's getting your nails done, meditating, yoga, running, whatever that is, journaling, just talking to your friend on the phone and just venting, whatever that is. I think it's important, because if you don't take care of yourself, who's behind you to do it? You're married, but your husband's going to do, you know, they're going to do that. They may be there for a little bit and say, it'll be okay. But ultimately, it's you and you. It's you and you. So, you know, the person that you truly are, when you shut out the entire world, you put your phone down, you get off the internet and the TV and away from everything, doesn't that person deserve
love?
You know, and if you think that, walk in that and embrace, because you are worthy, because in the end, all you have is you.
As you said, we come in this world by ourselves, we go out by ourselves. And it's important to really understand that, you know, being present and giving yourself time on top of, like, you know, other priorities in life or, like, you know, other responsibilities that we may have, it's very important, you know, to really engage in self-care. And so, you know, one thing is the definition of self-care really has changed over time. I'm noticing that when some of us think about self-care, we think is getting our nails done, doing your hair, facial, but we really don't talk about in-depth practices, which is like mindfulness, right?
That's right.
It could be you reading a book if that's what you enjoy.
That's right.
Closing your eyes, laying in the bed, and just being present. Mm-hmm. It could be going running. It could be so many things, but it really differs for each person. And it's about giving back to yourself and feeding your soul. Your soul is you. That's your inner self.
That's right. That's
right. And that's how we're able to come back and excel in life, but really feel whole as a person.
Just kind of piggybacking on what you're saying, that's why I think a lot of people may not do real self-care, and they may go get their hair done, they may get their nails done and all these external things, because they don't feel comfortable being alone with themselves. They start thinking, and those negative thoughts come about, and they don't know how to deal with that dialogue. They don't know how to rest and let those thoughts just pass through. It's just, they almost, when they're alone, they almost start judging themselves or feeling those emotions that may not feel so comforting. So let me get on my phone. Instead of dealing with what I feel and addressing it, let me get on my phone. Let me go do something outside of me so I can feel comfortable. Because being alone with me, that's hard.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's hard for people to just sit with themselves and say, what's going on, girl? You know, a lot of people don't like that because those thoughts, the way they feel. Yeah.
You have to entertain them.
That's right. That's right. So just kind of self-care, like you said, it's more of an internal thing, but it's really about feeling comfortable with you.
Yes. And not feeling guilty about pouring back into yourself. I know that just as individuals, but mainly as moms, I used to have like guilt just when I'm away from my son, and I still do sometimes, but I'm noticing that the older he's getting is getting less, right? And I'm like, oh no, you gotta pour back to yourself, because he's gonna be 18 one day and he's gonna be gone, and you don't want to be worn out, and you don't want to be not taking care of yourself or not pouring into yourself, because that doesn't just impact us as individuals, it impacts your relationships in life, impacts your drive for your future, your goals, your mindset, and all of those things. And it's very important to just be mindful about that. And just, you know, it's okay to have your time. It's okay to have your time away from everybody else and not feel guilty about it.
Mm-hmm. That's right. You know, let me tell you something real quick. Today, you know, I'm on Central Standard Time. I know you're on Eastern Time. Oh, and I was like, oh my gosh, I don't know if I can do it today. I was talking to my son because I have this to do and that to do. And this is my son. He's one of the ones I run around for, and I'm so busy. And he said, Mom, you've been running from what God has called you to do so long. Why don't you just do it? He said, just do it. And this is coming from the same one that I'm running around for. And it's like, it's so interesting. They're watching. They're not just listening. They're watching you. And what you do speaks more than what you say. And so if we want to raise our kids to be individuals and reach all of their goals and all the things that we raise them to want to do and just, you know, kind of guide them towards, why are we not doing it? It's like, I'm sitting up here saying how my child is good at this, and I take them to this practice, and I'm involved in this thing for their team sport or their group. And then I'm sitting up here not doing anything. Like, what are you doing? And that's kind of what talking with him kind of brought me back to, that self-care. Like, what am I doing for me? I'm sitting up here sacrificing, and then I sit up here, don't do anything, give everybody else everything, and then I'm not using my gifts, then I'm cheating God.
Yeah.
What am I doing for him? Just like Janet Jackson, what have I done for him lately? And that's kind of how I look at that. That's using your gifts to do nothing. If you're just, you know, taking care of your family, that is a responsibility. Mm-hmm. But he gave us gifts for a reason. He gave you a purpose for a reason. And you just sitting there is the same as a man putting the talents and burying them in the ground. What are you doing? So I just kind of a different perspective.
No, that's beautiful. First of all, your son is very wise. And I'm happy that he pushed you to be here, but I know you would have been here regardless.
Yes, of course.
And secondly, thank you for blessing us with your presence. I am, you know, and being here and educating us today. I understand, and I know our audience understands, that it's a lot, you know, balancing motherhood, entrepreneurship, career, and working and all of those things at once, and still being okay and being normal, right? And still and still being a fully functioning individual. I'm very happy that you shared it with us and that you're here with us today. So I'm very excited. You're not just a therapist, you're also an author. So I did review two of your books just to see what they're about. So can you tell us about your books? One of the books are The Voice Decline or Accept, Will You Answer the Call? So and the second one is Discover You, Six Easy Steps to Find Your Purpose.
Yes, I will start with the Discovering Purpose. Okay. I wrote that a few years ago, just helping people step into their purpose, letting go of procrastination, of fear, and just dealing with actual emotions that can prevent people from stepping into purpose, kind of empowering them to take control, not allowing distractions and things like that to prevent them. So I give them very easy steps to take that really you have to be disciplined to do that. But once you step out and you make the decision that you want to live a life of purpose and you're disciplined, it just kind of walks them through how to achieve that. And the second book, I am so excited about. I'm just like, it is like amazing. So it's really talking, it's a lot of short stories about what happens when you don't listen. And so there's multiple things that happen to people in stories that are true stories of when people don't listen, and then the difference when they do, and how they keep hearing the voice, but they keep saying, let me do me. And then what happens when you do that versus someone who chose to listen.
That's powerful. So that's powerful. I know that sometimes we all have mind chatter. I call it mind chatter because it's, you know, your mind is chattering, talking to you, and you're like, how do I react? Am I really going to listen to it? Am I going to internalize it? And I love that your book just focuses on that, but you give stories, right?
Yes.
In a way to allow your readers to envision and say, okay, do I do this?
Yes.
And how can I apply these recommendations and steps that you're giving to them throughout the book? So how was the journey or the process in writing these books and getting them published?
Well, you know what? I will be honest. It's like God just drops things in my spirit and I feel so responsible. Like it is put on my heart, like, go do this. And I'm just like, now I'm like, okay, I'm gonna go do this. But it was a process of truly just letting God really take over the keys and just letting him speak through me. Mm. How can I help people? Because I see people, it's so many people hurting. It's so many people confused. We're all looking to the TV and celebrities and all of this for who we are. And we don't even know who we are, but we know the stats of LeBron James, but you don't even know who you are. And so I just wrote these books as like a gentle guide to just take them one step closer to where they want to go. And that's the reason I wrote the books.
That's beautiful and powerful. And thank you so much for blessing us with these books. I've already purchased one of them, so I'm very interested and I'm definitely going to read it. The title that caught my attention is The Voice Decline or Accept, Will You Answer the Call? And I told myself, have you been answering the calls? And I was like, we're going to find out.
Yes, it is so amazing. It is, you know, it's so, when we quiet ourselves, you hear. It may not be what you want to hear, and sometimes it is. But if we can just slow down and just listen, it can take us to things that we only dreamed about. And he may be giving you the answer, but you're so busy in, you know, thinking about what you want or in your phone or being angry that you're not listening. But I've had so many instances, which you'll see in the book soon, where you're just like, it's real. You can have the life of your dreams because God comes and he warns you a lot of times before destruction. You know, the warning is before, but a lot of people don't listen. You know, we'll listen sometimes when it's something good, but when it's something negative, people, and it's like, man, and it's like things happen from that.
Yeah.
And it's sometimes it's just not very good things that happen from not listening.
Yes, that is. Sometimes we can be really not listening to, as you said, God's voice or our blessings, right? And we miss the message because we're not present, or as you said, we're not listening or pushing ourselves, or fear is interfering.
Yes.
And we're not finding a way to
connect,
address it and move forward in a way. So you emphasize the importance of listening to and being directed by the voice of.
Yes.
How has your faith influenced?
I feel like it has influenced 100% because I feel like I allow God to speak to me. I listen, and I'll tell something that they didn't even share with me because I am in tune spiritually with them because of what God is sharing with me. And I may provide a different perspective that they had no idea about. And so I truly have allowed myself to be a servant. And that's instead of creating answers and telling people what to do, I allow this God's spirit to work through me to help them find their own answers. And that's what I feel like I connect life coaching, but I also use the Holy Spirit to create change and help mm-hmm. people find answers that they probably wouldn't have if they hadn't maybe gotten a different perspective.
Yes, powerful. I love that. So for your clients that are looking to incorporate spiritual practices, mm-hmm. what would be your recommendation or guidance?
Slow down. I would say slow down and learn how to be alone, because that is mm-hmm. where you're going to get the most information, the most spiritual downloads, the most guidance is when you are still. Mm. You know, we think we always have to be busy. I need to run. I need to go. I need to fix. I need to be. I need to do. And sometimes just be. Allow yourself to pray and really pray. And I think prayer is when you talk to God. Meditation is when he talks to you. So allow yourself to pray and meditate. Allow yourself to journal. Speak the things that you want. Like we know about affirmations, how powerful those are. And when those negative thoughts come, you just reaffirm them with something positive, so you don't stay in that negative place spiritually. Mm-hmm. So really just getting in tune and being still with yourself and not feeling like I have to be doing something to attach. It's more of a, not an isolation, but just feeling like, let me go so I can hear. Because mm-hmm. if you're looking outside and you're using your five senses, you can't connect. It's hard to really hear. But if you step away and you just are still and you shut out the world, you may get a business idea that's something you weren't even thinking about. And you're just like, what? Or you may get a solution to your problem or somebody else's, or peace and comfort that you wouldn't have gotten had you been looking at Snapchat or mm-hmm. Facebook or YouTube. Just real talk. You got to be willing. And that's where that discipline comes from. You may not want to, but am I willing to give myself that time? Am I willing to give God that time where we can dialogue and he can let me know what's going on and I can let him know what's going on?
I love it. I love it. I especially like the part where you said reading your affirmations, right? When you're having those negative thoughts, mm-hmm. combating them by going back and saying, okay, let me fill my mind up with positive affirmations mm-hmm. to boost my mm-hmm. self-esteem. And that's very powerful. As you said, you can do it many ways. You can read flashcard with affirmations. You can even put the note on your window before you yes. wake up and go to work. Yes. You can put it on your desk as a reminder. And that's something that I've been doing that has really made me be mindful about, okay, mm-hmm. checking those thoughts that you may have, because we all have negative thoughts. Does not matter who you are. And then looking at it and saying, okay, let me do the opposite. My mind just told me that I'm lazy. Am I really right. lazy? Let me analyze right. that. Have I been right. lazy lately? No, I'm not really lazy.
Right.
But I could do this better. Right? Let me read this affirmation to boost my self-esteem so I mm-hmm. won't be lazy.
That's right.
And that's just an example.
Yes. You know, one thing I forgot to share with you too, that mm-hmm. I also do myself and have clients do, as well as my children. One thing that I've done to really get in touch with myself is I'll just stand in a mirror and look in my own eyes and tell myself how much I love me and how much I'm worthy and how special I am and how, you know, amazing and how, you know, just everything that you may feel like when those thoughts come, get in front of a mirror and tell yourself the truth, because we've been believing a lie. There's nothing that shows that all those negative things are true. Why don't you get in the mirror and talk to yourself and tell yourself the truth mm-hmm. and start that reprogramming?
Yes. And I love that, right? Because we constantly get feedbacks and positive compliments from people in our life. Mm-hmm. And this is literally just us doing that for ourselves, right?
That's right.
In times when we're not receiving the compliments, we got to pour back to ourselves and give ourselves the compliments, because how are we going to be able to receive compliments if we never give that to ourselves?
That's right.
And affirmation cards, or just affirmations in general, are literally just that.
They are.
It's just creating your existence and creating the energy before mm-hmm. you go to sleep and before you step out of the house. So thank you so much for suggesting that. I just remembered it. So what are some practical steps that people can take to elevate their mind and their lives?
You have to be intentional about what you want. First of all, what do I want? And then really removing everything that doesn't fit that and being disciplined to go towards what you do want. Mm-hmm. And I think those are the keys. They sound so small and so simple, but if you do it, it's amazing where you'll be in a year or even a month. it's like you're going to start creating those habits. And it's like, wow, you know, and you let go of things that no longer serve you. And then you have a direction. I'm going there. And then you just stay on that path. And so those are some things that I think are really helpful.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you for giving us that very useful advice. So we're getting close to the end of this interview. But before we go, I have two more questions for you.
Yes.
How do you define living a life of purpose, abundance, and prosperity?
I truly feel like it's being in the flow and feeling peace about it. Like you have you're intentional about what you want to achieve and where you are, and you're in agreement with God. And He shows you and opens up doors, and you feel so much abundance and peace because you're in His will, you're doing His will. But it's like you feel a bliss and a peace, like you're in purpose. I'm being used the way I'm supposed to be used. I'm in agreement, really coming into agreement and being in the flow and walking in that and working and being intentional and being disciplined in agreement with God.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited that I got the chance to speak with you today. Our audience got the chance to learn about generational patterns and ways to overcome that and ways to patient with ourselves and ways to be mindful of our behavior so that we don't, you know, extend those habits to our children and family members. So thank you for educating us on this matter today, especially when it impacts a lot of individuals and families today. These are the type of topics that are very important to discuss, but we just don't have these conversations often. And it's very powerful that you gave us the opportunity to do this today on our platform. So we want to thank you, Michonne, for coming today and blessing us with your knowledge. And for audience that want to connect with you, she's going to provide her information after I close this interview today. But thank you to our audience that been able to listen to today's podcast. This episode is very important because throughout our life, we go through a period of time of just feeling disconnected and feeling lost and feeling like we don't know how to overcome that or find a way to just find ourselves. But step one is listening to our voice, figuring out what's the best option for us, right? And if anything does not serve us, setting the boundaries and disconnecting from those things and putting ourselves first. And as Michonne has said, pouring back into yourself. And really asking yourself, what have you done for yourself today? So thank you guys so much. But before we go, please let our listeners know how they can connect with you on social media. And if there's any blogs that you do, how they can tune into you weekly or monthly or daily basis.
Sure. Real quick, before I give that information, I just this with the viewers. You are worth it. You're amazing. And I really want you to take a deep dive and realize you deserve everything that's on this earth. You deserve to live a life of abundance and prosperity. You are worth it. So just learn yourself, let go of things that are holding you back so that you can achieve everything that you want to achieve. So getting back to contact information, it is michonnechilders.com. So that is my website. And I'm also, you can find me on Instagram on my website, Unlocking Your Potential Together on Instagram, and it's the same on Facebook as well. So I'm so excited. I just truly feel like I'm just ready to run and be like, let's go. I mean, I'm just, let's get it. You know, do you know who you are? And I know that's too much. I have to just kind of pull it back and be like, oh my gosh, you know, but I want to just, it's like, you're amazing. So, but I'm so thankful. Thank you for having me today. I really have enjoyed this.
Thank you so much, Michonne, for being on our podcast. It is a blessing to have you here, and we are very excited to have you back for our second season, which will be happening soon. So thank you so much, everybody, for tuning in. Please be sure to watch this episode and connect with Michonne on the social media information that she gave you, as well as please be sure to click follow and like and share this episode with your family and friends, as this will impact them in a positive way. Thank you guys so much.